stalling impeachment and screwing the Kurds. In his great and unmatched wisdom, it's another big week in the Trump White House. Ed Blakely and myself, Sean Britton, discuss the latest in US news and politics this week. Every week you can find us wherever you find your podcasts, as well as on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Trump impeachment. Let me just recap a few key things that have gone on here. Trump has doubled down on claims Joe Biden and son Hunter are in some way corrupt. He's asked publicly for Ukraine and China to investigate them. Still illegal. Just because you do it publicly doesn't help. He's accused Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff of treason and said the White House will not cooperate with what he claims is an illegitimate investigation. What am I missing, Ed?
I think you're missing the full Hitler speech in 1929, but you got most of it right. And that was in the Reichstag. But you've got the essentials correct. So I think the elimination of the parliament would be the next thing, or it might burn down.
The night of the long knives.
This shows a person who's totally out of touch with the United States Constitution, any constitutional procedure or process. How the Republicans to allow unconstitutional behavior to go on. Let's say he's absolutely innocent. Then if he's innocent, simply turn over the documents to provide proof. Innocent people don't hide the evidence unless they're not innocent.
A second whistleblower has come forward with what they claim is first-hand knowledge that supports the original accusations on Ukraine. So the investigation, it would seem, already off to a bad start for Trump.
Not necessarily. This was a deep throat, or deep threat, I should say, or deep state person. So he would just simply knock that off and say, well, you know, I was going after these deep state people, the intelligence agencies and so on. And they are the ones against me, and why I need this information is to get back at them. So, actually, if I were the second whistleblower, I would come out in public. His safest place to be right now is wide out in the open, because he's safer there than trying to hide.
And just want to circle back on the point you made a moment ago in terms of Republicans and their responsibilities. We have subpoenas for the White House, the State Department. The Dems have formally requested documents relating to Ukraine dealings from Mike Pence. As I said, though, Trump and staff denying cooperation. Again, I'm left wondering what backstops actually are available when you have a commander-in-chief and a party that supports him, controlling the Senate, that point-blank refuses to acknowledge the law. What are the backstops?
Well, the U.S. Congress, and that is the lower house, has the right to issue subpoenas and put people in jail. They did it with the Mueller hearing. Remember, people that lied to them went to jail. People who failed to answer their subpoenas went to jail. So it is possible that actually a new special counsel would be appointed to try these people, or Mueller would be rolled out again. So, but I think time's against the Democrats. I think they're going to roll with what they got.
I think it
and
just
use sounds, yeah. The fact that these people aren't testifying is absolute proof of the president trying to get around the law and obstructing justice.
It just seems to me, though, that American governance, the American system, is facing some of its biggest challenges right now.
Its biggest. I've never seen anything like this. Of course, I'm not that old. I'm not 200 years old. But I don't think there's ever been a time when the president of the United States did not want to protect the presidency. And this president does not. And I think he'll try to stay in the presidency even if he loses an election.
Just briefly, our own glorious leader, Scott Morrison, getting dragged into this as well. News Trump pushed Morrison to help discredit the Mueller investigation into Russian interference. Part of me feels for Morrison, Ed, which is not a sentence I would say often. Getting dragged into this when the Mad King says jump, well, what do you make of it?
Well, I think this is a case where he didn't know what he's being dragged into. because he was simply asked, do you have any intelligence information regarding the Downer meeting? And of course, he could have said, yes, we have the actual transcript of the Downer meeting. He gave it to us and we'll give it to you. So Trump makes a lie out of that and says Downer was pushed into giving this information, that there's no truth to it. And my proof is I got it from the Prime Minister of the Australian Commonwealth. So he makes the truth a lie, and he's never made a lie the truth.
Moving on to a potentially much more important story, Trump abandoning Kurdish fighters, pulling U.S. troops out of northern Syria and allowing the Turkish army to mosey on in. Ed, what's happening?
Well, you just said what's happening. Allowing the Turkish army to come in means they'll obliterate the Kurds. The Turks and the Kurds have had a very uneasy relationship. Eastern Turkey is held by a lot of Kurdish military now. So this would allow them not just to go into Syria, but to go into the rest of Turkey and knock out the Kurds. The Kurds were one of our best weapons against ISIS, and the Kurds were depending on the United States to support them. This will be the third time we've let the Kurds down.
Mm.
And all of our allies are looking at that.
Well, you know, as you say, it's hardly the first time we've the U.S. has screwed over the Kurds. I mean, H.W. Bush was the most famous example, but
happened before that at the end of the Second World War.
Yeah, exactly. So, in this case, why is this one so unexpected? And what's more, why is it causing such backlash?
Well, because the U.S., in terms of its highest diplomats, its diplomatic system, and the president himself, said we would be supporting them. So it tells you what his word is worth.
Mm.
And this will lead to not just the massacre of the Kurds, but the massacre of a lot of Syrians and ISIS on the move again.
And just putting the two together, Trump needs the support of Republicans right now. A lot of Republicans quite turned off by this one.
Not that turned off. If he goes down, they go down with him.
Mm.
It's as simple as that. They have tied their fate to him. Why have they done this? Because he can put candidates against them when they are up for re-election, representing, as he did, remember in Alabama, he put up a separate candidate.
Mm.
In other states, he put up separate candidates. Those candidates were defeated, and Democrats won the election subsequently. So a divided House means you lose. And that's why Lindsey Graham's so afraid, that he's afraid of a Trump candidate running against him. That's exactly what's going on now. What this could mean, though, if he did that, is the Democrats would win the Senate. And if the Democrats win the Senate, he's toast. So does this dog's bark and bite, are they equivalent? I think not.
I'm starting to think in 2020, 2024, we could see the Trump party, maybe just four T's sort of arranged in a nice circle on a white circle on a red background or something like that.
I think you could make a swastika out of that.
And just on Trump's fallback in this situation, he said via tweet, of course, if Turkey does anything that Trump, in his great and unmatched wisdom, considers to be off limits, he will totally obliterate the Turkish economy. After all, he's done it before.
It's true, and it hasn't recovered yet, so what's he going to obliterate?
Yeah.
It's already gone.
My question is, I mean, putting aside the whole great and unmatched wisdom entirely, what the hell is he talking about?
What he's talking about, they have a very weak economy now.
Mm.
They're not able to export to Europe. That was their major exports because sanctions have been put down on them. Trump would just double down on those sanctions and sanctions of goods coming to the United States. But does Erdogan care? He'd love for his people to be suffering more. Help him win his next election.
Related to this, but less reported, Trump is also looking, it would seem, at withdrawing from the 1992 Open Skies Treaty, which allows unarmed flights over nations who signed on to monitor military activity and conduct arms controls measures. Now, this is most importantly, of course, Russia. Withdrawing, it's said, would be a big boon for Russia, and top Dems have claimed it would be another gift to Russian President Vladimir Putin.
What do you know? Haven't we heard this song before? Maybe a little different music, but anything he can do to help the Russians, he's going to do. They got something on him, for sure.
And reports the rich are getting richer this week. Well, we knew that, but also paying less tax. US billionaires paying less than working class. In 2018, the average effective tax rate paid by the richest 400 families in the US was 23%, a full percentage point lower than the 24.2% paid by the bottom 50% of American households. This is no accident. It seems to be the Republicans' key achievement under Trump.
It is. And why don't we see what's going on here? What's going on here is the poor should pay. Being poor is a cost to the state, and poor people should pay for that. We used to have those work farms and poor people's homes. Mr. Trump thinks that, combined with immigration reform, which means put you in jail, would be a boon to the nation. I mean, these are private prisons, after all.
These are going to be some very, very long chain gangs.
Private workhouses. Yeah. I can see it coming.
And before we move on to our final Democratic candidate for 2020, just wanted to talk a little bit about China. I mean, we talk about how China in the South Pacific and the like is using investment to really force a lot of government's hands. But this week, really illustrating the fact that they're doing this to American businesses as well. The NBA, dealing with the fallout after the Houston Rockets general manager voiced his support for Hong Kong's pro-democracy protests. Last year, the hotel operator Marriott, Delta Airlines, and Mercedes-Benz, amongst others, were forced to apologize for offending China in some way. China is swinging a great big stick of cold hard cash right now.
They certainly are. And think of the scenario this way. Could those little taps leading to a big stick be aimed at the United States? Why should they negotiate a better deal for the United States? The president's in trouble. The economy's going downhill. He needs them. They don't need him. And I think they're sending a little signal here. Your economy's going down. Our economy has to go down an awful lot before it hurts us. Yours only has to go down a little bit. Watch out. There's going to be no real hard negotiations in this next round. What they'll be saying is, you lift your sanctions against us, and we will do nothing. And if you don't, we will simply keep on keeping on. It's hurting you. It ain't hurting us.
Great big beautiful deal right there. Now, with Democratic presidential contenders in 2020, we've been building our way up, talking one per week over the last couple of months. We left Joe Biden for last because when we started, he was unquestionably the front runner. But he's been hurt of late by the Trump-Ukraine situation and by Warren becoming more and more of a contender, as we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Where is Biden now?
Well, Joe Biden still hasn't found his voice. And remember, Obama didn't either, particularly in his second election until very late in the game. I think Biden is still holding back and doesn't want to attack Trump directly for what we've seen, Trump doing underhanded things. But getting him on the campaign trail and poking holes in his policies, his programs, and the like. So Biden may lose that game, but it's the only game for him to play. Because if he comes out strong line now and starts hitting a few times below the belt, people put him on the same level that Trump's on. He has to stay up and look king-like to win. So watch this space. I think it's going to be very close between Warren and Biden. And Warren, I'd give the nod to right now.
This is the difficulty of covering a presidential campaign, really. The United States, they go on for such a very, very long time.
Which is a good thing for our show.
Oh, yeah, it gives us plenty to talk about. Just before I let off on Biden, Joe, he seems like a sensible choice for middle-of-the-road Democrats. I think that is unquestionable. But is he too moderate to get people fired up, get them into the polls?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Elizabeth Warren has a little bit more spunk, a little more step, a little more shrillness, but not so shrill that she turns people off. And she may get the suburban vote. I think she has it pretty well wrapped up now. And that's going to count in Wisconsin and Michigan and Virginia and those states where the farmers will go the other way. The cities will definitely be Democrat. So if you get that next ring around, you win the election. That's what they're both looking to win. I think Biden has that in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania, where he's well known, and Warren is tying it up in the other states like Iowa, Colorado, etc. So the question now is, this will be a fight, hopefully, to the finish, and that's actually good for the Democrats. To have a fight of these two people, who everyone agrees are caliber candidates. And that will really hurt Trump, because Trump is not running against anybody and making sure there are not contests in which anybody else could win.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk the latest in U.S. news and politics. It's 2SER supporter drive right now. 2SER is a not-for-profit community organization producing independent media like the podcast you've just heard. If you'd like to keep us doing what we do, head along to 2SER.com/support and show us a little bit of love, however much you can give. It is very much appreciated.